A caution, our next story is a disturbing one. It involves child sexual abuse, but the alleged victims may get their day in court. This week, the Vatican announced that a defrocked archbishop already facing criminal charges under Vatican law for allegedly paying underage boys for sexual acts has lost his diplomatic immunity and could now possibly be tried outside the Holy See. That stunning reversal came after an explosive article in the New York Times detailed claims that Archbishop Joseph Wesolowski, the now former Vatican ambassador to the Dominican Republic, sexually abused young boys and then was spirited out of the country by Vatican officials who didn't inform local authorities of the evidence against him. Vatican officials then invoked diplomatic immunity to help Wesolowski avoid prosecution. There's a lot at stake here. If he's tried in the Vatican, it will be the first criminal trial there for child sexual abuse. If he's tried back in the Dominican Republic or elsewhere, he'll be the highest Vatican official to be put on trial for sex abuse ever. Lori Goodstein is the national religion correspondent for the New York Times. She joins us from New York. And Lori, your thoughts on the announcement from the Vatican, likely in response to your devastating report?
Well, they responded very quickly to the article. We had asked them questions in the past about whether they would allow the former ambassador to be extradited to either the Dominican Republic or to the country that he's from, Poland, which has also been trying to extradite him. And this was the first confirmation we got that they would be willing to do that.
No. Well, so take us back. You traveled to the Dominican Republic, talked to many people there. This, as we said, is the first time a top Vatican ambassador has been accused of child sex abuse. How and when did this first come to the Vatican's attention?
Last year, a friend of the ambassador was arrested, a deacon who was walking along the waterfront promenade in front of a lot of hotels in the capital, Santo Domingo, and he was looking for young men for sexual acts. Well, this friend, this deacon, was arrested. And from prison, the deacon sent a letter to the church officials in the Dominican Republic and also to the ambassador, really confessing that he had been picking up young men for sex, not for himself, but for the ambassador. And this is how the Vatican found out that their ambassador was engaged in this, or at least first learned of the allegations. And very soon, the ambassador was removed from the country.
And peel this back even more. The ambassador would have had to enlist the help of the deacon because a reporter in the country had gotten on to what he was doing.
Right. The reason a reporter got onto it is that the ambassador was a constant presence on the waterfront. He would stroll along. He lived there for 5 years, and he was there, by some accounts, almost every day, having a beer in a waterfront cafe and then strolling along. And people who worked and lived in the waterfront neighborhood noticed that he was going off with young boys. And eventually, somebody identified him because the Vatican ambassador was, after all, in the news. His face was publicly known. He celebrated Mass. And so somebody identified, hey, this is the Vatican ambassador, and they alerted a local television reporter who sent out a crew to tail him.
And the archbishop, the ambassador, Wesolowski, noticed that he was being tailed. He actually confronted the reporter. He soon disappeared from the waterfront, and the deacon appears. Nobody comes to bail out this deacon who's sitting in jail. It snowballs from there. Suddenly, Wesolowski is spirited out of the country. What did Dominican officials say about that?
Well, they said they were shocked because the first they even learned of the allegations was from the TV report. The TV reporter did end up interviewing a young man who said he had been sexually abused by the ambassador and running a report on television. That's the first time that the district attorney or the attorney general in the country even knew there were allegations against this man, and he was already out of the country.
You spoke to children as well. What were some of the things they said? And we want to, you know, we'd be careful of our listening audience, maybe children in it, but what did they allege that the ambassador asked them to do?
Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about these children. These are really poor, poor children who make a living for themselves and for their families by shining shoes along the waterfront. And on a good day, they might earn something like $1.50. Well, this man came along and said, here's $25 or more, even as much as $100, if you'll come with me and perform a sexual act. And talking with these kids, they were very ashamed. Some of them initially didn't want to reveal what had happened. but they were also angry because later when they found out who the man was, why perhaps he was there all the time, why he had so much money, they just couldn't wrap their heads around this kind of hypocrisy. They're all people who go to church, and they couldn't make sense of it.
Well, and we should say these are allegations, but it became pretty clear that there was something of a cover-up. He spirited out of the country. People reported seeing him strolling around. The Vatican invokes this diplomatic immunity. What does Vatican law say about what they're supposed to do when something like this happens?
The guidelines that the Vatican has say that in countries where reporting is mandatory, church officials are supposed to report allegations, and that's what they didn't do in this case. But the Vatican also has a leg to stand on in saying that he has diplomatic immunity. Now, they had a choice. They could have waived diplomatic immunity, but they didn't. And now this week, the Vatican is saying, well, he's no longer a diplomat. He no longer has diplomatic immunity. So they're saying that now, but it is only after the article came out. They certainly could have said that months ago.
Well, look, you mentioned Poland. There's also been shockwaves through Poland because that's where Wesolowski was ordained by the Polish prelate who went on to become Pope John Paul II. And now you have Pope Francis who has said he's going to do something about clergy sex abuse. What do you think happens now? Do you think the Vatican will allow him to be sent to the Dominican Republic to be tried?
I think the announcement this week indicates that they will. And I have no doubt that in the end that there will be justice done. First, the Vatican will hold its own criminal trial, which is very, very unusual. But they seem to be indicating that they're not going to shield him from being tried in another country as well.
And you mentioned that these kids are Catholic. The country is Catholic, the Dominican Republic. How has this affected faith?
Well, the scandal of sexual abuse has not been heard about much in the Dominican Republic. And so this was a very, very shocking episode. It also happened at the same time as another Polish priest was accused of sexual abuse, and he fled the country. And that's why the government of Poland is looking into this and looking also into the relationship and connections between that Polish priest and the ambassador, also Polish. So two very visible cases happening at the same time. And talking with Catholics in the Dominican Republic who told me that it did affect their faith. But their faith can also be restored. And I think everybody's watching to see what happens.
A Catholic priest told you people are now saying, no child of mine is going to go to a Catholic church. That's pretty stunning from the Dominican Republic. Lori Goodstein, national religion correspondent for The New York Times. We'll link you to her reporting at hereandnow.org. Lori, thank you.
Thank you for having me.